Let's read out loud the Word of God from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 and verse 9. When you look at the outline and when I give you the major points, you will recognize that the three major points of this outline are the same three major points of last week's outline. The reason that I did that is, have you ever read something in God's Word and it's good, but you don't think you've seen what He wants you to see? You don't think you've grasped what He wants you to grasp? You haven't understood what you think He wants you to understand? And you know you're close to it, but you're not there yet. And sometimes, rightly or wrongly, we feel we have to move on and go on to something else. But other times we come back saying, you know, I'm going to park here a while and see if I can't see something else. Well, we've got three verses today that I want to spend and build the message around. And let's read out loud this as best you can see it. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 9. Three times He says to Joshua to be strong and courageous. And I believe that's where God wants to show us some new things this morning. Let's read it out loud. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That'd be a good place for an amen. Amen. Father, we ask You for the Holy Spirit to teach us this morning. Lord, give me the words that I need to say. Give me the heart that needs to be tender and yielded to You. Lord, give me the illustrations or the applications that will make this personable to somebody else. But most of all, Lord, give us liberty to preach for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we come to Joshua chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 9, God says to Joshua something three times. He tells him to be strong and courageous. He amplifies it and says, be strong and very courageous. But he says the same thing three times. Now my question for you this morning is, how many times does God have to say something for it to be true? The answer is once. If God says the same thing to you twice, He says, put a Barney Fife bullet beside that. And if God says something to you three times in succession, He's not just being flippant. He's just not run out of things to say. He's got something that He wants you to look at and to notice. Though He tells Joshua three times in these three verses to be strong and very courageous, He gives him three different reasons he needs to be strong and be very courageous. The understanding of this is going to come in comprehending what the word strong means and courageous means. And I hope to impart that to you as well this morning. What I want you to see is in Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And when did it come about that God said to him, be strong and courageous? It says, now it came about after the death of whom? The what? The servant of the Lord. Here's what I want you to look at and take with me here. For every single one of us, up until this day today, there has already been a defining moment in our life. For every single one of us, there is something that if I were to be able to sit down with you and to ask you, what is the most painful thing that's been in your life to this date? Or what is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you? Or what is the unwisest decision you've ever made? I don't think that any of us would have any time or any problem recalling what our biggest event or most defining moment in life has been up to this point, good or bad, especially if it's been bad. If I were to have the time to have every single one of us to share a portion of our testimony today, I will guarantee you there is a part of our testimony that is painful, that is so personal, that is so difficult, that we may or we may not even be able to share it with anybody else. But if you could share it with anybody else, people would understand you a whole lot better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to dance with this microphone right there. What God is doing for Joshua and what God is doing with the people of Israel is He is telling them is that you cannot live in yesterday. You've got to go on to your tomorrow. Now, He doesn't make a negative statement about Moses. He doesn't make a condemning word about him. Moses was great. And if you'll read the rest of Joshua, you'll find that over 70 times Joshua brings up the name of Moses. He revered him. He respected him. Joshua was his attendant. He was his assistant. Moses was like a mentor to him, and he loved Moses. There are times in your life, and there are times in my life, that the defining event of your past could be a good thing. But you still will have a time when God will tell you what He told Joshua. Hey, Moses is dead. Get over it. Moses is dead. I know in my own life that there have been several things that could have been or become defining moments for me. I can go back and I could pick any number of them out, and I won't bore you with that, and I won't belabor the point with you. But I remember growing up, I thought, believed, and dreamed, and it was within my grasp to one day be a professional baseball player. I mean, when it came to being an athlete, there may have been many, and there were, that was probably better than me, but probably not many more competitive than me. If I didn't have the same talent that you had, I could beat you on determination, drive, and competition. But when it came to baseball, I actually had a talent that was unparalleled by many, if not any. I was a pitcher from early on, and when I didn't pitch, I caught. I could have and was on the track to probably play a professional baseball either as a pitcher or as a catcher, and if I got to choose, I'd be a pitcher. If you've ever caught, you understand why. Though being a catcher is the fastest road into the major leagues. You can hit 220, and if you don't ever hit better than 20% of the time successfully, if you can catch and if you can think and if you can throw the ball, then you can make it to the major leagues as a catcher. There's just not that many that's willing to take that kind of a beating. But as a pitcher, I could pitch. I pitched several perfect games. And I pitched several games that in a 7-inning games where there's a potential of 21 batters, I'd face 19. I'd face 20. And it was just an automatic that I was going to be a baseball player, at least in my mind. But then I had an injury. And I couldn't play baseball as a pitcher anymore. You know, if that were to shape you and that were to define you, that could be your defining moment, and I could live from the rest of my life for yesterday. Yesterday I was a pitcher. Tomorrow I never will be a pitcher. And that could have been my defining moment. You've got defining moments like that. And you know, there comes a time in your life and there comes a time in my life when God says to you, Bobby, Moses is dead. That baseball career is dead. And to show you how competitive I am, to show you how strong-willed I am, I wouldn't take that for a no. I can't go to the major leagues being a baseball pitcher, but I can go as some other position. And so I learned another position in the period of one off-season. And the high school that I went to at that time, baseball was a very, very strong sport. If they didn't win the state championship, they played for it every year. And I made my way into the starting lineup of the defending state champions as a first baseman. Now, first baseman in today is usually a power hitter. I had some power. But the truth be known is first base is your weakest arm. If you play first base, you've got a pretty good glove, you've got a pretty good bat, but you've got a weak arm. And that's where they hide that. And I had a weak arm, but I learned how to play first base, and I made the starting lineup. I made the starting lineup opening day as a freshman in high school for the defending state champions. And the day before the opening day, my hand swole. So big, you know, that I didn't know what it was, but that wasn't going to keep me from playing, but I could go get a shot or something and get rid of that. And so I go to the doctor, and he said, "I'm not concerned about that swollen hands. You've had a bite or something to get you. We'll give you a shot and get rid of that. But I'm greatly concerned about the knots in your neck." And within 24 hours, I was in the hospital, and they had diagnosed me as having Hodgkin's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. I was going to die of cancer. And as if God said to me again in that hospital bed, while they're doing these tests on me and my teammates are out there playing baseball, "Bobby, Moses is dead. There's not going to be a place for you in the starting lineup when you go back. Moses is dead." That's what he's telling Joshua. "Joshua, whatever you thought Moses was going to do, whatever you thought going to the promised land involved, whatever you thought your tomorrow held, Moses isn't part of it. Moses is dead." And some of you, you've got that defining moment. You've got that a medical report. You've got that death of a spouse. You've got the death of a child. You've got the termination from a job. You've got something in your yesterday that the enemy has been using against you. And the enemy's been using that against you, and you've been allowing that to happen, and you won't look for tomorrow because you're living in yesterday. And what God wants to say to you today is, your Moses is dead. Whether it was a good thing for you or whether it was a bad thing for you, it's dead. But look at what else he says about Moses. "Moses, my what? My servant." He said, "I've used that Moses, but my use for that Moses in your life is gone. And today, I want you to acknowledge that that was a servant that gets you to where I've got you today, because I'm pointing you towards your tomorrow." Now, how do you lay hold of your tomorrow? We've all got a yesterday. And if you want to live in yesterday, then you're never going to find tomorrow, and tomorrow's going to be better than yesterday ever was. Well, the first thing that's true, a call must be received. If you're going to move on from yesterday until to tomorrow, you've got to know that a call must be received. And that's what God has been dealing with Joshua about. He's giving him a call. And as I would say to you, and as we often do, in our text right here, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the sons of Israel.'" That was his call being received. It wasn't a text to him, it was a truth to him. It was an encounter with a thrice holy God, and God will give you a call from Him to let you know it's time to let go of yesterday and grab hold of your tomorrow. Your yesterday will always be in your life, but it doesn't have to define your life anymore. You can let go of yesterday and you can grab hold of tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be better than yesterday. How do you do that? When the call is received, here's the call, and we find it in verse 6. In verse 6, God says to him to be what? Be strong. Now, let's impress you a little bit so you can impress somebody else a little bit with a Hebrew here, okay? The word "be strong" is the word kozak. Say that, kozak. Got to get that "k" in there, all right? Now, you need to say it with authority, but not with saliva, all right? Kozak. Tell somebody next to you without saliva, kozak. That's be strong. Be strong. And again, when God says something one time, it's true. When God says something two times, it's for you. And when God says it to you the third time, He said, don't miss this. He says, be strong. Now, that word "be strong" means to seize something. It literally means to lay hold of it. What he's telling him to do by telling him to be strong, he said, "Joshua, I want you to seize your tomorrow. And how am I going to seize my tomorrow? It's by one thing, and that's what's found in verse 6, by believing God's promises. You're going to be strong. You're going to be strong when you're willing to grab hold of God's promise for your tomorrow. When you believe God's promises, it means that you're willing to seize it. It means that you're willing to grab it. It means that you're willing to hold on to it. And when he tells him to be courageous, be strong, it means to grab hold of it. When he tells him to be courageous, he's telling him then, don't lose grip of it. Don't lose your strength. He says, grab hold of your promise and don't lose your grip on it. Grab hold of it. And it's not talking so much about his strength as it is his personalization of it. He said, Joshua, yesterday is gone. I know that you loved Moses. I know that you walked with Moses. I know that you learned from Moses. I know that you believed in Moses. I know that you treasured Moses, but Moses is dead. For you, it may have been a negative Moses. It may have been a disappointment in somebody. It might have been an event. It might have been a person. It might have been a relationship. It might have been any number of things. But God is saying to you, don't grab hold of Moses. Grab hold of my promises. He's saying, look at what he's saying in verse 6. Let it grab you so you can grab it. He says, be strong and courageous. Kozak and ametz. Courageous is ametz. Tell somebody, kozak, ametz. All right. Be strong. Be courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore, which I promised to their fathers. What is Joshua being told to be strong and courageous about? What is he being told to seize hold of and don't lose your strength? To the promise of God. The Joshua, what I'm about to do in your life tomorrow is all bound up in you believing my promises. Turn with me real quickly, if you can, to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, listen to what God says about this. We'll begin reading in verse 16 to give you a running start. Hebrews 6:16 says, for men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. Verse 17, in the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the what? The promise, the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed it with an oath. Now look at verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to what? To lie. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold. You see that? To take hold of the hope that is set before us. What he's telling you in the New Testament is, be strong, be courageous, grab hold to the promises of God. And when you grab hold to the promises of God, then you've got two immutable things. Now get this, God says, I promise you this. And then he says, I promise to keep my promise. That's what God's telling you to do in order to lay hold of tomorrow, is that you're going to have to be willing to believe His promises. Do you understand this yet? I mean, many of you look at me like that. I may not be communicating it well to you, but every single one of us have promises from God. Every single one of us have a Moses that God's saying, I need you to leave. It's dead. It's gone. It served its purpose. I used it as a servant to get you to today so I could get you to your tomorrow. I promise you're going to have a tomorrow, is what God says. And what God says, I promise to keep my promise. And so in order for you to lay hold of tomorrow, you're going to have to believe God's promises. I was so excited by this, and I was so challenged by this. I said, God, which promises do I tell him about? He said, you wouldn't be able to do it all. He said, you'd do something in your own strength, and you'd hit some, but you'd miss most of them. And so I said, God, how are they going to grasp this? And he says, just tell them to ask me. Just tell them to ask me what promise they need for their circumstance, and I'll give it to them. And I get to step out of the way. So that's where you're at right now. I want you to take just a moment. You know your circumstances better than anybody else does. Other people may know some of your circumstances, but nobody knows all of your circumstances the way that you and God do. And so right now, whatever your Moses has been, and whatever your tomorrow shall be, just ask God, God, I need a promise. I need a promise. And by two immutable things, God's going to promise to you. He'll promise you, then He'll promise to keep His promise. Father, right now, I'm asking you to speak to your children the way that I believe you'll speak to your children. Give them the promise, Lord. Give them the promise that allow them to lay hold and not lose strength of their tomorrow. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. So whenever God has you poised, whenever God has you positioned to step out of yesterday and into tomorrow, you're going to have to believe His promises. How do you believe His promises? He tells us in His Word how you believe His promises. He says in His Word that faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the what? All right. Now the word for word is rhema. That's not the written word. That's the spoken word. Now, the spoken word might come alive from the written word, but it comes with you just simply doing what you just did then. Ask God. If you will ask God for a promise, if you'll ask Him for a word that's relevant to your circumstances, that'll take you out of yesterday and put you into your tomorrow, then by faith, you'll get that word. Faith is the confident expectation of the things not yet seen becoming the way that they are. And God said, I'm going to give that to you. And if you get a promise from God, then the first thing He's going to tell you is, be strong. The second thing He's going to tell you is, be courageous. When you've got a promise, get a grip on it. Get a grip on that thing and you don't let it go. And you get courageous with it. You get strong and you get courageous. You stay strong and you stay courageous by believing the promises of God. And I can tell you what, whenever you begin believing the promise of God, Satan's going to throw a gale wind in your direction. And the storms of life are going to go right in your face. But God's going to be saying to you, be strong. Be courageous. By faith, Noah believed the promises of God. By faith, Abraham believed the promises of God. By faith, Abel believed the promises of God. By faith, Enoch believed the promises of God. And by faith, you'll do the same today. Amen? Now, there are two things that are necessary for you to believe the promises of God. Real quickly. They're told to us in His Word. The first thing for you getting a promise from God is that you have to believe that God exists. The second thing is, you have to believe that God rewards those who seek Him. Do you get that? You say, where'd you get that from, preacher? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. You know, as a church, for 21 days we have chosen to enter into some type of a fast. For some, it's maybe a Daniel fast. For some, it may be a liquid fast. For some, it may be a media fast. For some, it might be any other kind of thing. And you're doing that because you are, what? Seeking God. You're seeking Him. Now, some translations say, for those who diligently seek Him. But I'll have to tell you, that word diligently is not in the text. But it's implied in the word. Because of the prefix of the word for diligently there, it means to pursue Him. It means to chase Him. It means to inquire of Him. And you do it. That you have no problem believing that God exists, but you have a problem sometimes believing that He rewards those who seek Him. And in this 21 days of fasting, you're seeking Him. You're seeking Him. You're seeking Him. You're seeking Him. And what I have found in the times of fasting, there are times that I find Him in the fast, but usually it's after the fast. The fasting has been the discipline. The fasting has been the purging. The fasting has been the cleansing. The fasting has been the sanctifying. The fasting has been the prepositioning. And then, man, everything after the fast, you begin to say, that's why I was fasting. That's why I was fasting. That's why I was fasting. And God's always going to reward those who seek Him. That's what He said in His Word. That's a promise to you. That's a promise that if you seek Me, you will find Me. Well, turn to Luke chapter 11 just for a moment. I promise you that the other two are not nearly as long as this one. But this one lays the foundation for the other two. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, this is Jesus talking, and He's teaching about this thing of seeking Him. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. I think you've got a friend like this, don't you? And goes to him at what time? He said, hey, I didn't make it to the grocery store today, but I need some bread. And you say, friend, if you want some bread from me, you come back at a decent hour. That's in the Bobby translation there. He says, you have a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Verse 6, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing set before him. Verse 7, and from inside he answers and says, hey, don't bother me. The door has already been shut. And my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Verse 8, Jesus says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his what? Persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now that's a neat story, isn't it? How does it apply to what we're talking about? Look at verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened unto you. So Joshua, if you're going to lay hold of your tomorrow, realize that Moses is dead, but the promise is alive. The promise is more alive today than it's ever been before, and I have promised to you, and I promise to you to keep my promise that you're going to have a tomorrow. You're going to get up, and you're going to cross this land, and you are going to give this people what I have promised to them. Now, this ought to excite you right here. When you are in the position of Joshua, when you are being told by God to be strong and courageous, get a grip and don't lose it. Get a grip of this reality. Get a grip of this truth and don't lose it, that I'm going to use you to one day to distribute to other people what I promised to them. I believe that's what God's got for us as a church. That God's going to give to this church one day a distribution ministry. That God is going to take us who will seek Him, we'll find Him. Those who ask Him, He'll answer us. Those who entreat Him will not be disappointed. And one day, because God has promised it, He said, one day I'm going to use you to distribute to the needs of everybody else. That's where you're getting your blessing from. A call must be received. An encounter between you and God, between me and God. And when that has happened, God's going to tell you to get a grip and believe these promises. If you understand that, say amen. There's a second thing. There's a second thing. Whenever there's a call that's received, the second thing in order to lay hold of your tomorrow, because your Moses is dead, is that we must be willing to understand that a challenge will be revealed. A challenge will be revealed in it. Look at verse 7 now. Verse 7, he says, only be what? Only be strong. Chazak. Say it again. Chazak. And ametz. Ametz. Joshua, next verse. This is the very next verse. Only be strong. Lay hold of it, Joshua. And very courageous. Don't lose your strength. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. What is the challenge that comes after the call? The call is to believe God's promises, but the challenge is to embrace God's principles. Embrace God's principles for getting to the other side. Look at what he says again, verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be careful. Be diligent. Be studious. Be committed to doing according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you may go. Some of your translations may say prosper, so you may prosper. Prosper and success, same Hebrew word. But do you know that the prosperity and the success he's talking about has nothing to do with money? God's prosperity and God's success hardly ever has anything to do with money. But what God's prosperity and success has everything to do with is wisdom and obedience. What we need is not more money, we need more wisdom. If we've got more wisdom, we'll know what to do with what we've got, and if we know what to do with what we've got, God will see that you've got more. And he's telling Joshua here that I have placed within you everything you need to hold on to your tomorrow. You're going to have to believe my promise about it, but you're going to have to embrace my principles to get it. And be careful not to move from the right or to the left. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of destruction. But God says, I'm going to make you successful. I'm going to make you prosperous. But you're going to need my wisdom to know how to do my principles. That's what we need to be asking God for in this season of our life. We believe God's got a tomorrow for us. Amen? How many of you know God has said to us and affirmed to us, our Moses is dead? Your past is over, but that doesn't mean your life is over. Your past has been my servant, so you don't curse your servant. Your past has been my minister, so you don't badmouth your minister. But your tomorrow is my promise. So grab hold of that promise, and now embrace my principles. That's what we're trying to do in truth groups. That's why we need you in a truth group. That's why we need you to host a truth group. That's why we need you to participate in the truth group, so you can learn His principles, so you can have wisdom. And when you've got wisdom, you'll be successful and you'll be prosperous. Do I need to tell you more about that? A challenge is not to go after the world's wisdom. And not to go after the world's ways, but to go after God's ways. Suppose that you needed, and you believe that God had promised, if you were single, that God had promised you a spouse. How would God and His principles tell you you're going to be found by that spouse? How would the world tell you to find that spouse? They'd be different. Be careful to do according to all that's written in my words. That's wisdom. And obedience to that wisdom makes you successful. You say, but I'm having a hard time hearing God right now. Man, I'm fasting and I don't know what else to fast. Well, what do you do when you can't hear God? And oftentimes the silences of God are more loud than the voice of God. When you can't hear God, read God. How do you read God? Right here. This is reading God. This is what God said is important. This is what God said. There's so much more that I could say to you, but you can't handle it. But there'll come a time when you won't have this finite limitation to you, and we'll enjoy each other forever and ever, and I'll reveal things to you new every day. But I've written everything that you need right here to life and godliness. And if you just, when you can't hear me, then you read me. And the more you read me, the quicker you'll hear me. So get in His Word. Believe His promises and embrace His principles. But oh, the third one, it even gets better. There is a call that must be received. There is a challenge that will be revealed. But if we're going to lay hold of tomorrow by moving beyond our yesterday, a commitment will be required. A commitment will be required. And oh, here's the commitment. The call is to believe God's promises. The challenge is to embrace His principles. But the commitment is to cherish God's presence. To cherish God's presence. Look at verse 9. Verse 6, he says, be strong and be courageous. Verse 7, be strong and be courageous. Now look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, Joshua? Haven't I already said this? And he's not rebuking him here. He's emphasizing. Joshua, I said this in verse 6. I said it again in verse 7. And I'm going to say it one more time in verse 9. Kazak Hametz. Lay hold of this, Joshua. And don't lose grip of what you're holding on to. What is it? Do not tremble and do not be dismayed, because the Lord your God is what? With you. Where? Wherever you go. Joshua, believe my promises. Joshua, embrace my principles. But Joshua, cherish my presence. Oh, wherever you go, I'm making you another promise here, Joshua. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. Just as I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Isn't that an exciting trip? Isn't that something to lay hold of and be courageous with, no matter what you're facing? To the Bartleys, y'all are about to become first-time parents. God's going to be with you, and you're going to need to know that morning, noon, and night. As good as all of this is, as exciting as all it is, raising this little child, you're going to need the promises of God. You're going to need the principles of God. You're going to need to know the presence of God is with you. You're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but God will be with you when you go there. And you won't understand that, but you'll know that to be true. Becky, as a single mom, you know His promises. You know His principles. And know that wherever you go, His presence is with you. Every single one of us has a tomorrow that God says, I want you to lay hold of. And when you lay hold of it, He said, I don't want you to go wimpy on me. I don't want you to lose strength in what you believe in and what you're doing and I'm going to be with you. Now, Joshua's going to need that, and what you're going to understand about it is chapter 1. Chapter 1 is just simply believing your promise for tomorrow. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 is submitting to your tomorrow. And then chapter 3 and chapter 4 is actually possessing your tomorrow. It requires all three. You've got to believe you've got a tomorrow. And then when tomorrow gets here, you're going to have to submit to it. Do you remember he told them it got closer? It had been 40 years. Then it got to be 38 years. And then they're 3 days away. And then there comes a time Joshua says, hey, it's not tomorrow, it's today. Let's get in that river and let's go. And there'll have to come a time when you're willing to submit to whatever your tomorrow is. But God says, I've got some promises for you. And you're going to do it with wisdom and success and obedience. But you're going to have to submit to what tomorrow holds for you, because I'm holding tomorrow just for you. Man, the book of Joshua is so full of promises, principles, and His presence that it'll be an exciting study for you. Now, the first 11 chapters will be exciting for you. The last 10 are it's for the mature. That's the distribution. That's the allocation of the land that comes. And at first few readings, you might not see what the beauty and the wisdom is and all that, but God's got a purpose for it. It's why this one got this, and this one got this, and this one got this, and this one got that. And there'll come a time when that'll be enjoyable to you. But for now, just focus on the first 11 chapters. They're the action chapters. And that's God telling you about your tomorrow. How many of you believe you've got a tomorrow? Amen. Now, we're going to have an invitation here that's a little different. Our invitation here, I have established two places where the elements of the Lord's Supper can be found. In the back, just to my left, back there where Marty is sitting, you can be a custodian, a guardian, a steward, a servant, a minister over those. There's some bread that's covered, and there's some wine that's available. It's not really New Testament wine. It's Baptist wine. That's available. But if you don't mind coming to the front, we've got the same kind of bread and the same kind of juice available here. And what I believe some of you need to do, if not all of us need to do, is to come and lay hold of a promise from God. All of His promises are bound up in His Son. And let the bread represent the promises that God has for you. I believe that by now, or certainly by the time that you take communion with Him, you're seeking Him, that He will communicate a promise to you. And I believe it would be wise and healthy for you to take the bread and hold it up as a promise to God, or a promise from God, and say, God, You've promised. And today, You're willing to enter into covenant with Me and swear by an oath with Me today that I can believe Your promise to be true. And I worship You by taking this bread, which represents the body of Jesus, and immersing it in this juice that represents the blood of Jesus. Because of the body and the blood of Jesus, I can have the promise of tomorrow. Lord, today I come to lay hold on my tomorrow. And in Jesus' name, I fellowship with You. This is available to anybody and everybody, whosoever will. You might need healing. You might need deliverance. You might need financial provision. Whatever it is, let God give you a promise. Say, God, I confess Moses is dead. I confess that didn't end my tomorrow. I'm a step closer to it today than I ever have been before. Right now, the invitation is available to you to commune with the Lord through the bread and through the juice, through the bread and through the juice. If you have a need that you need somebody to help you with, seek someone out, seek me out. We'll be glad to help you lay hold of your tomorrow. After I have prayed, the invitation will be available for you to grab hold of your tomorrow and not let go of the promise. Father, thank you so much for the diligence, the responsiveness, and now, Lord, the obedience to your tomorrows for us. Lord, individually, we need a promise. Corporately, we need a promise. And Lord, we'll believe the promise and we'll embrace your patterns and principles. And Lord, we'll cherish your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.